Hi, and welcome back to Dr. YOLO. You only live once, so why not make it count and live your best life? Hear from experts in their field on our health and wellness podcast. We will be discussing tips to living your one and only best life. This podcast is brought to you by Topline MD, a health alliance of top quality docs with a mission to elevate the patient experience. I'm your host, Dr. Geetha Nair. Today's topic is how to talk to your teen about a broken heart. Here with me today is the beautiful Dr. Lisa Paz, a board-certified clinical sex therapist and licensed marriage and family therapist. She has been practicing in Miami for over 10 years and counsels people on how to address issues that pertain to intimacy, sexuality, relationships, and the individual, couple, or family. Some of the topics she specializes in include desire disorders, communication training, and family, children, and topics of sex and relationships. Welcome, Dr. Paz.
Well, thank you, Dr. Nair. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, listen, first question for you is, you know, teenage heartbreak is tough, whether you're a teenage boy or a teenage girl. Can you break down for us what's the difference if you're a boy or girl, a parent of a boy or a young woman?
Yeah, 100%. And I think gender is so important here. Our inclination, right, is to think that boys bounce back and boys don't get their hearts broken and girls are going to be sort of emotional disasters. And it's actually funny talking about this because I know you have a daughter and I have three sons. And so this applies to us too, right? But I invite us as parents to not sort of project our gender stereotypes onto our kids, because it's very possible that our daughters may be perfectly fine or very resilient and
Mine
bounce
will
back.
Be. Mine will be.
She
totally.
Absolutely will be. And it's very possible that our boys may be sensitive and may be in a lot of pain. And so this is really about gauging who your kid is and less about sort of bottling them into like boys toughen up and boys don't cry and, you know, girls are disasters. What you may see just by natural way of gender communications, daughters may be more willing or more in need to talk, where boys might get a little bit quieter and might come to you sort of a little softer and a little less directly. But I think the big piece here for that I want all parents to know is like that we don't make just quick assumptions of boys feel it less and girls are going to be disasters, because not necessarily the case. So really let your kid cue you on how they want to handle this breakup.
And is there a certain role for mom or dad, depending on whether you have a boy or a girl?
I think this is about who has the stronger relationship or who does these talks better. And also, you know, there's nothing wrong with just asking your kid what they need, right? We're so quick to materialize as expert in our child's life. And I think that this is one of those places where it's perfectly fine to show that we're fishes out of water too, right? It's their first breakup, and maybe it's our first time talking to our kids about their first breakup. And to just sort of tell them, hey, I don't know what you need, but I want to give you whatever you need. So you tell us, if it's mom, it's mom. If it's dad, it's dad. If it's uncle so-and-so, that's okay too. But just know we're here to support you, and really let them be the sort of master of the ship here.
Gosh, Lisa, you make it sound so easy.
I mean, let's see. Mine are still little too. Let's circle back in 10 years.
So, you know, first instinct as a mom, teenager comes home with a broken heart. I mean, the guy breaks her heart. You beat him up, right? Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Yes. No. But I want to tell you what's funny is because you're a mom of a daughter. And so you set that example up with the guy breaks her heart. And I'm
totally
a mom of sons.
Already.
And I'm thinking those bad women out there.
I know you were going to say something different than bad women.
No.
Listen. All right, so what should you do? So your teenager comes home, boy or girl, with a broken heart. What do our moms and dads out there do?
First, you check your instincts and you sit on it for a second, right? Because as you just noted, our instinct is to like rage and protect and impart all of our wisdom and go in there and like cuddle them and want to tell them everything is going to be okay. And that is exactly what they don't want. And so the first thing is to sort of take a deep breath and recognize this is one of the first intersections where you need to be a parent slash friend, because they're now facing an adult feeling, right? This heartbreak feeling. So you want to get them talking is first and foremost, and you want to minimize your talking, which as a parent is so hard to do. And we all know that.
Lisa, especially for me, you know me. So how do you open the door for conversation? Is being quiet actually the first thing?
Listen, being quiet, or I think validating language, is one of the most powerful things you can do. So as they talk, instead of rushing in to say, it's going to be okay, or don't worry, or she's a horrible human, or he's a horrible human and takes sides, to just really echo back what you hear them saying. Oh, babe, that's horrible. Oh, sweetie, I'm so sorry this is happening. What's going on for you? You know, to really meet them in their space and to really just let them cue the conversation. And I think is the first front line. I think with teenagers too, it's so important to recognize that there are highs and lows to their emotions. And so you may have one conversation where they're sobbing and then they may go to their room and they may need quiet. And you may have a second conversation where they seem hyper and angry and vigilant. And so I guess what I'm trying to say here is mood swings in this chapter with this population, teenagers, is so par for the course.
And even for adults, right? It's tough.
Yeah, it is tough.
So my daughter's 7. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine this is going to be, you know, just foreshadowing. God forbid this should happen to her, because it never will.
No, it never will, because I've met your daughter, and anyone will never break that heart. She'll be a heartbreaker, but anyway.
Oh, thanks, Dr. Paz. So how do you show them that you're there for them without being on top of them, right? So I'm thinking of my instincts, and, you know, I'd be like, let's go on a vacation. Let's get ice cream. Let's buy a car.
Yeah.
I'm guessing those are maybe ice cream's fine and maybe the rest is too much.
Yeah, listen, if you're handing out cars, I might get in line. No, listen, it's a great question. And so this is where you're going to really have to temper sort of being more present, more around them, but not necessarily being on top of them. And I think there's a timeline attached to their healing. And so by that, I mean, you know, if you want to give them extra Xbox time, extra ice cream, extra friend time, extra phone time, extra screen time, you know, in whatever capacity, you can sort of say, hey, I recognize you're going through a hard time. I'm going to bend a little, or I'm going to be a little extra supportive, is great. But at the 3 to 5 day mark, they got to sort of jump back in. And I don't mean jump back in like they need to be happy again, but I mean like they need to reconnect to their routine. They can't sort of over nurture this downward slide. And so that's going to be on you or us as parents to sort of pace the, like, and we as adults, this applies too, right? You have your moment to sort of wallow, and then you can still feel bad and nurse a broken heart, but you got to sort of step up and get back to real life in whatever capacity that means, whether it's sports, whether it's extracurricular activities, homework, et cetera.
Okay, gotcha. So what about anger, right? You mentioned mood swings, so you know, the wallowing, the sadness, but what about if your teenager is really angry and just, you know, how do you manage that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Listen, so there are going to be mood swings. I think there's adaptive anger, because they feel wrong, they feel betrayed, they feel blindsided, they feel in pain. And then there's maladaptive anger, right? Outbursts that look just disproportionate to what it is. And even more so than anger, in addition to anger, I think the critical thing that we're looking for here is depression, right? You want to make sure that this critical first-time life experience that's really painful, and maybe their very first time interacting with this level of pain, doesn't migrate into depression. And so signs that parents can look for, right, is oversleeping. And I know that's an oxymoron with teens, because they sleep extraordinarily amount anyway. But oversleeping, mood swings that feel really, really deep. So not your average like high-low teen mood swing because something bad happened, but something that looks where you don't recognize your teen. If all of a sudden they're overeating or undereating, if they're not sleeping, so change in sleeping patterns, depending on where they are in their academic career and your relationship to the school, maybe give a heads up to their homeroom teacher, or if they're involved in extracurriculars, you know, sort of give a heads up so that you have a team approach just to watch them if it starts to look that out of hand.
Okay, so those are great points. Now, you know, teenagers, right? So social media, I mean, I got to ask, where does that fit into this? I don't know if there'd be bullying or some kind of manipulation happening with, you mentioned, you know, a team approach. The guy's got his side, the girl's got her side. What do we do?
I'm so excited you brought this up, because this did not apply to our generation, right? The social media impact on love and romance and coming together and breaking up. And
well, not when we were teenagers, but maybe now.
No, right. Touche. But not when we were teenagers. You know, relationship status is one of the first things that gets updated for teenagers, and they all change it to in a relationship, out of relationship. So social media can be in a very sort of aggressive place when you're going through a painful interaction. Again, relationship status changes. If they're left for somebody else, is the other person already posting? Is there any sort of cyberbullying or snarkiness taking place? So the best thing you can do, if it's available, is encourage your teen to take a break for a few days from social media, to really step back and be like, you know what, let's heal the broken heart. Let's get the new car. Let's get the ice cream, right? Let's do anything in between. But maybe sort of taking a social media diet or decreasing it will be important for them. Additionally, you don't want them to start posting things they're going to regret, right? You don't want them to start sort of acting out online. And then that sort of creates a whole social backlash.
Well, but they can post that they got a new car and they're eating ice cream in the new car.
Listen, and nothing makes you look better than that, right? Two scoops and a convertible, you're winning. You know, what's so hard, all kidding aside though, is that our perspective as adults is different and wider. And in the biggest way, we understand time, and we understand time passes and this too shall pass. Teenagers have a very narrow spectrum of time. That's and right. So, you know, their sense of how long this is going to last forever means, or what it means that, like, okay, a few days for them could be a lifetime, or that these friends and these groups aren't necessarily going to be their groups forever. Their perspective is thin. And so to facilitate sort of letting them see that the world goes forward will be important, but not in an I told you so way, you know? And so this is a lot about striking balance.
And so even blocking, perhaps on social media, blocking this individual or persons. Okay.
Fabulous.
So now when or if should you involve the other parents, right? Is there a line at which something is, you know, acceptable to do that? Is that something that shouldn't be done?
I think,
you know, the family.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, teenager suggests 12 to 19, right? And so, or really 13, I guess, if we're being specific, how you would handle a 13
year old. My kid is not dating at 13. Just
so there's that. But, you know, I think you have to gauge the development of your child, right? Because there's young 13 and 14 year olds, there's precocious 13 and 14 year olds. At 18, we probably wouldn't involve the parents. Maybe at 13, if it's a small school, you would. So I think that's a case by case basis. And I also think that involving the parents potentially infantilizes this a little bit, right? Remember, this is the teenager really going into that gray zone of having adult feelings or more grown up feelings and departing from that childhood innocence. So if we intervene parent to parent, are we robbing them of the experience of healing?
Well, I guess, you know, the only place where I guess that comes to mind for me is if there is a concern of domestic violence of some kind, right? Physical abuse or emotional abuse. So how do you gauge that, right? Because that's a whole different kind of heartbreak.
It is a whole different kind of heartbreak, and hopefully one that's going to be in the minority, but it exists. Yes. Obviously, if there's abusive tendencies or a high level of aggression coming at your child, you would involve the other family and or the school officials or whatever officials are in the community that would be appropriate. But, you know, this is really an opportunity for parents to help model and guide their kids through healing, through the process of healing, through learning how to, or teaching them how to adapt tools that will get them through probably an emotion that they will face again. Hopefully not, but most of us have had more than one heartbreak. We always remember the first, but we've had more than one. And the more we have in our toolbox and the more strategies we have, right, then the quicker we get through it. And so this is an opportunity to sort of unload that toolbox for your teen without being an I told you so parent. And so it's more suggestive. Hey, if you do want to go to a counselor, no problem. Hey, if you want to have your best friends over a little later this week and you just need some extra friend time, no problem. Hey, if you feel like you'd be more comfortable talking to Uncle so-and-so or Aunt so-and-so, I can get them on the phone. You know, and I think that's another piece is identifying what other adults in your teenager's life they have a relationship with that may be comfortable for them to sort of bounce ideas or thoughts or feelings off of.
Well, Dr. Paz, you are so easy to talk to. So we really appreciate you unloading your toolbox of options for our parents. So we ask this question of everyone that comes on the podcast unrelated to this topic, but how are you, Dr. Lisa Paz, living your best life?
I love this question. I'm sitting here with you right now. How am I living my best life? Listen, I'm waking up every day and I'm trying to be grateful and present and remember that everything passes, the good and the bad. So I'm trying to hold on to the good and release the bad, knowing that it's all fleeting, and trying to just give a lot of love to those I love and work out and live a happy, healthy life. I mean, we're sitting here looking at the sun and the water right now. So That's my best life.
It's no mystery that Dr. Lisa Paz is a love doctor. So thanks so much for coming on our podcast and being our guest expert today. It's been a pleasure to have you on. I hope you'll come back.
Thank you for having me.
We look forward to practicing these important life strategies and the toolbox Dr. Paz mentioned so that we continue to live up to the idea of Dr. YOLO. Thank you to our listeners. We have so much more coming to you, from myths about trending diets to tons of important health topics with top doctors. Subscribe to our channel and tune in so that you too can start living your best life.